This is Dan Myler, host of the longest-running Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast in the industry, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Join me and my co-hosts, Ryan McDowell and Matt Price from DynastyLeagueFootball.com, as we use 60-plus years of Dynasty experience to analyze news, walk through startup and team-building strategies, and highlight trade targets to keep you on top of your Dynasty League year-round. It's a different topic each week on the DLF Dynasty Podcast, but the common theme is always the same, helping you build the ultimate Dynasty roster. Join me, Dan Myler, along with Ryan McDowell and Matt Price, each week, year-round, for the DLF Dynasty Podcast.
Got me singing, got him, but I've been paid up. I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up. I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost him, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked. Not to say I'm a jerk, but I'm an addict. It's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want. You can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain, I'm an addict. And the pot is what I'm playing, I'm an addict.
Russin Rocky.
Other names. Trade addicts pie. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Bobby Koch, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 211. Of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Well, put it up there, Bobby. There you go. And we just did. We are here mid-rookie draft season. I am all of the back padding I was doing, all of the congratulations I was giving myself for spacing out my rookie drafts, I failed. Miserably, they're like all still going. I have like nine going. It's just
You have five rounds, Russ.
We are getting rid of the fifth round.
Whoa! I traded one of those fifth rounders for a fourth rounder in the future. We are not getting rid of the fifth
okay.
Rounder.
So for that league, we are not. But any league that no one has traded a fifth rounder for in 24, they're gone. And if not, they're gone in 25. Like this is happening. This is. Smart. Silly, the amount of clockouts we get. Like, it's just...
Yes.
I looked back at some of the fifth round drafts that we've had in leagues I'm in with you, because you're the only one we have fifth rounders. And it's pretty bleak, but I will say, in TA7 in 2020, James Robinson and... I'm blanking on the other one. It's a good... Darnell Mooney both went in the fifth round. So Peter Howard, who drafted Darnell Mooney, and I think it was... Memphis, who people really don't like to give credit because he brags about being back-to-back champ, but Memphis drafted James Robinson there. So they both got some pretty good value in the fifth round. Just putting it out there.
Well, now they'll have to get it on waivers.
Yep. Now they'll have some nice content for this is the guy I got on waivers right after the dynasty, the rookie drafts.
I play in a league with these experts and I got this guy on waivers. They're all chumps. My article.
Chumps. Okay, well... Yeah. So we are going to, of course, still be talking about rookie drafts because we got a lot of them going on. We have top 24 ADP for, I think it's seven of the Trade Addicts leagues. TA1, we are not counting because when one person has five of the top six picks,
yep,
things go wrong. This is like half the J Mike Invitational where I left his little... Whatever.
Oh, yeah, I think he had like 8 of 12 too, or something like that too. Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna leave TA1 out. TA9 and 10 did not make it there yet, or did and 10 isn't there yet. I don't remember anymore, but I have it down. We'll talk about it a little bit.
And seven would have been left out if I didn't trade for Trey Lance and J.K. Dobbins. I had like 9 of the 12 first at one point.
one way to ruin that. No, but also we're going to talk about that a little bit, especially when we get to the TA8 trades, which I think we're going to start with the trades because there's a lot of them. And I think this is the most interesting, especially in a draft class where we're all so down on. We think it would be so easy to trade in, and everyone's going to want to trade out because this is a terrible draft class. It hasn't really been easy to trade in. Like, it definitely hasn't been cheap. It hasn't been like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll just trade out. That's fine. It's taken work. And I don't remember, I think it was whatever show I was on, because who the heck knows anymore. Whereas, like, I don't really feel the desire to, like, trade in. Like, I see the players. I'm like, cool, no, I love me some Burks. I like Garrett Wilson. London's fun. Olave's good. Cool. But to put something together and figure it out, like, I don't feel like the gusto for these players. And then the rookie drafts really start, and I'm like, I need them all. So yeah, that clearly has gone away, and we'll get into some of that because a lot of these are going to be my trades. But
for old time's sake, because I just podcasted with Brian, I feel like I need to do this. Trade Addicts trades. There you go. That's my best Brian impression.
Aw, it's been a long time since we've done that on this show.
Love it.
Ugh. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and no TA1 trades, so 0.05 points for return yardage. We are jumping in first, of course, after all of that big build-in to a trade in TA4 that has zero to do with the rookie draft. good job, Russ. Yes. But this was an interesting one because I want to talk about this. We need to talk about this, Rocky, because this led to one of our trades later. The trade that happened right here was Alvin Kamara for A.J. Dillon and Albert O. Now, I don't know if I'm clinging to what Kamara used to be. I don't know if I'm just overlooking the fact that there's some chance that he gets suspended, because there is a chance. Everything I've read, like, and heard one or two things where it's like their court case keeps getting pushed back. Right now it's in August, in which case it might not finish in time to get suspended this year anyway. And after this season, when Alvin Kamara is 28, he got no value at that point anyway. So, you know, whatever, you might as well ride the points. But, like, this is low for Kamara, right?
I think it is, yeah. But Bobby, what do you think?
So in our Cool Kids chat, which if you're not part of, become a Patreon of Trade Addicts and you get access to the Cool Kids Club, which is great. J. Mike recently asked about a trade and essentially said, like, no thoughts, just what's your gut on this? And ever since then, I've been thinking, like, my gut hesitated or my gut said this. My gut reaction to this particular trade was just like, a little bit of, like, I threw up in my mouth a little bit from Dodgeball. And I think it's to Russ's point where I might still be holding on to the name value of Alvin Kamara, but I'm not an A.J. Dillon guy. And while I like Albert O, he's been all hype. And we do this all the time, guys, literally all the time. We get this athletic tight end prospect that we're like, this is going to be the guy. And this is so it, baby. Once he gets his opportunity and he just ages up like a fine wine, he will catch 100 passes a year and be amazing for my team. And don't get me wrong, I still like him as a flyer, but as one of the centerpieces for Alvin Kamara with A.J. Dillon, I just think whoever gave up Kamara didn't get enough even at his depressed value.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure, like, I'm staring at it and I'm like, I always try and think about what was going through the other, like, what was going through the person's head that I completely disagree with. And here's what I come up with. Everything I said before about Alvin Kamara, the age, the legal stuff. And with Aaron Rodgers now only having rookie wide receivers and Robert Tonyan, they're going to run the ball more. And even when they were splitting towards the end of the season, both Aaron Judge, not even like baseball. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon were both doing decently in fantasy. Of course, it completely capped Aaron Jones' ceiling, but that's not what we're here for. So if we're talking like Alvin Kamara, who this season can probably give you top 8 running back, Then you'll have AJ Dillon, who can probably give you RB 20, and then maybe tight end 15. Like, I get it. The two on the other side are much younger. There's, but I, it's just Kamara. It's Kamara for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I've been kind of off Kamara all non-point scoring season. I've been worried that I've been worried that offense is going to be a shit show. But it doesn't look so bad. It looks like Thomas is. I was worried Thomas might not be there. They got Olave. They re-signed Winston, who was serviceable last year. And I just looked while you guys were both talking, and you could argue their offense was a shit show last year. And he was the RB7 in points per game. So maybe I should be more on Kamara. He still had 18 points a game. You know, he missed a month, but when he played, he was you know, RB1. So an RB1. So he wasn't the Kamara of 2020. It was nuts, but still very, very good. So I
get that also with a couple Taysom Hill starts. I can't recall fully, but I feel like Taysom Hill did start a few of those games.
Oh yeah, and Trevor Siemian started some of those games.
Yeah.
So after Jameis got hurt, I think it just went back and forth between those two. AJ Dillon, I get the idea that everyone thinks they're going to run more, and I kind of do too, but I think that's going to benefit more Aaron Jones, that he's going to get a lot of dump offs also. So not that Dillon can't catch the ball, but Jones is clearly the better PPR back. So I don't get it.
Yeah, we're just going to move on because I'm just going to keep talking myself in circles. And it's not worth it. So now we are moving on to TA6. And I think like every trade from here on is draft related. And this first one happened as the 104 was on the board. Clock on the clock. Yes, that's right. The 104 and 302 got traded for Dallas Goedert and the 112. And the reason this happened was because Treylon Burks fell to the 104. And J. Mike is a very big Treylon Burks fan. So he's like, I'm going to make this happen. So what do you think that Dallas Goedert is too much of a bridge, enough of a bridge from the 112 to the 104?
Kind of depends what they got at the 112, but with
George Pickens, sorry.
With the tiers being kind of flat, I don't really hate it. I will say I like Burks a whole lot better than I like Pickens, but I also recognize I could be totally wrong about that, and the Steelers are good at developing wide receivers. So honestly, especially for the 1.75 premium, I mean, we just talked about this, and I hate to give the Eagles a compliment, but they're going to be a good offense. So and Zach Ertz, who capped Goedert before, is gone. So I really don't mind it. I wouldn't say I love either side, but feels like a fair-ish trade to me.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair, too. I do think Goddard's hit. Goddard's value maybe took a little bit of a hit, and his production maybe took a little bit of a hit with the AJ Brown trade. I think he's the one that it hurts the most. You know, they both could be kind of working the middle of the field, whereas Devontae's a little bit of a different player. So I think a month ago, I think this would might have been too much for the 104, but I think it feels about right now, because I do think he came down a little bit with the AJ Brown trade.
Yeah, the way I see this is, the value feels okay, but more importantly, I would absolutely do this to go get Treylon Burks. That's what it comes down to. You know, especially at a time where there is no wrong yet. Like I was, excuse me, I was joking with Zach Reed that, because he hates this class, and I'm like, there's nothing to hate right now. It's fake. This is all buzz. This is all hype. This is the honeymoon period. Like, we are just happy. We are paying for each other. We are having a great time. They have plenty of time to disappoint me in a couple of months. But for right now, this is great. And Zach is also a Treylon Burks fan, so he would be curious to see what he'll say about this. But yeah, easily. Like, I love the idea of George Pickens. I don't love the idea that my camera keeps going out of focus on its own, but that's podcasting. But
the listeners can't see that, though, Russ.
Thanks for pointing that out. But now they know. Now they have like an inside to what it's like. Like George Pickens, I like the idea of him. I like the idea that in a year or two, Claypool's going to be gone. If not, like Pickens can just take over from Claypool, who's never, it's only been 2 years, but hasn't showed anything steady. And Pickens is, what are you, like a boneheaded issue? Like he's like, you know, a little bit of off the field idiocy, but he's a very good player. And Pittsburgh and their second and third round wide receivers, I would pay Goddard, who is still, regardless of what you want to say about him, in that glut of tight ends where it's like, I can start you. It will work pretty well. It could work very well. It could be crappy. So, like, yeah, for me to move from those things to Treylon Burks, who, you know, the Browns said, we have A.J. Brown, but we want the mystery box that can be A.J. Brown.
It's like, it's funny you say that, though, because I haven't felt strongly enough really to trade up for, I think, almost anybody. I've traded into a few drafts just because it's fun to draft and pick players. But I haven't been moving up. And I have Treylon Burks as my wide receiver, too. But I just haven't been – I just feel like this whole first round, like any of these guys could hit and almost all of them could bust. I think a lot of it, and this isn't anything original I'm saying, but Olave and Wilson feel like the guys that have the highest floor and are less likely to bust, but I don't know. So I haven't been willing to do this, to kind of add a player to move up a bunch of spots. I'd just be happy with my Pickens and Goddard, probably.
Yeah, it's funny. That was one of my biggest defenses, and I don't feel like trading in, where it's like, we have these three or four guys at the top that we, wide receivers, at least, that we really, really like. So we pay more for them a little bit, but then we have all these other guys who we also do really, really like.
Right.
And we have no idea which of these guys is actually going to hit and which are going to fall. So, like, I'll sit this out, find out, and then pay a little bit of a premium to go get that guy.
And then Treylon Burks is on the clock and everything goes out the window.
Yes. The draft actually started and I needed them all. But yeah. Yes. Hold on. I lost the sheet. There it is. Next trade, we go to Trade Addict 7, where we need to talk about this real quick. We have oftentimes, when evaluating trades, talked about it in a few manners where the value we see in front of us, but also what trading you do based on what your next move is going to be. You know, you don't always, never should, your no trade should be your last trade, which means just because he traded for something doesn't mean he has to be, that player needs to be on your team in the next 20 minutes. But doing that with the 101, especially the day of the draft, almost never works. If you go and trade for the 101, do not do it with the idea to move it again before that clock runs out. It has happened in 2 TA leagues and was unsuccessful on the turnaround in both of them. Now, don't be sad. You got Breece Hall, and you will always have a chance to move Breece Hall before the season starts. Well, you know, whenever at that point. But if you really didn't want Breece Hall, you still have plenty of time to do something with it. But for the pure aspect of trading for the 101 to think I can do something else with it, it's a dangerous game in a small window. And if you can, awesome. And if you pull it off and get more than you traded away, clearly you won right there. But if you don't want the 101, it is a very, very, very risky move on the day of the draft. If you want to do it like 3 months ago, you probably, that's a good move. Because
it's also such 3 months for that 101 to get. Russ, of like setting the market. So you saw, this is on a much lesser scale, but you saw in our league, once like the 3-10 went for like a third and a future, or a future third and a fourth, basically there were like three trades in a row of a third and a future fourth. And so once you make that trade for the 101 when it's on the clock, if you think you can get more, you're probably wrong, because you essentially just set the market for that pick. And people look at that and go, okay, that's roughly the value I have to pay to get this. And chances are that the only one who wants to pay that is you, since you just did it.
Yeah.
So to your point, trading for the 101 when it's on the clock and you don't want to make the pick, is very ill-advised.
Yeah, and like, look what every team said about the Jacksonville Jaguars about the wide receiver market this offseason. and like that, because the Jaguars set the mark and then everyone else had to live up to it. And that's why we saw a lot of like big guys moving, because when Christian Kirk gets Christian Kirk money, you know.
Philadelphia fans, thank you, Christian Kirk.
Yeah, Debo Samuel, as I said on our draft show, Debo Samuel was just trying to get that Christian Kirk money.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. Okay, so the trade we did pull off, I sent the 101 and a 23 second for Derrick Henry, Keenan Allen, and a 24 first. Now, this is less shock and surprising because both of these guys are in that league and both of them are in TA7. But I guess, what was your feelings? Let's let Rocky go first, because Bobby's been talking too much. I'm tired of hearing his voice. I just wanted to see him laugh. What did you think about this when you saw the email go through?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that far off on either side. I like the player side. You know, obviously it's a kind of a competing.
I wasn't, though. This was just like this was a bad decision. Okay, like, I have been in this rebuild for 2 years. I earned the 101. That's right.
TA7, yeah.
And then I was just like, you know what? This guy just said he wants to rebuild. I have the 101. Let's see what I can do. And this is what happened. And at first he didn't want to do this trade with these future picks involved. Like, I absolutely insulated myself by grabbing his 24 first.
Yeah, and that makes me like him more, yeah.
And then he's like, would you do it without it? And I froze. And I'm just like, no. Like, value-wise, again, it's probably fine. But conceptually, it will be screwing my team over. And I don't feel like dealing with that again. So, like, if I'm going to screw my team over, I want to do it on purpose. So, and this wasn't one of those times I wanted to do it. So I felt good about this. It was fun more than anything else. And I don't know if I've ever traded away a 101 before.
And that is a good point. It's a really weird trading, I think, about it for you, because, yeah, you do not have a great team there.
I do not.
The way I was looking at it, I mean, it's like it's possibly two, you know, top 12 starters, a wide receiver one, RB1. And you're getting a first on top of it, all for Breece Hall. But
when you got that super killer stack of Kyler and Hollywood Brown, you just got to push all your chips to the table.
So there's two points to make here. One is, when I saw the trade come in, and sorry, Clint, I love you, but I think you gave up way too much value for the 101, especially with the idea that you're going to flip it. That's just the first thing. The second thing is, we keep talking about as if this didn't make sense for Russ's team, because it's rebuild or contending. I actually hate those terms, because the thing is, when you talk about rebuilding, everyone then goes, okay, I can only acquire youth and I can't do anything else. And that's not true. You can rebuild by getting veterans at a value and then flipping pieces of that. So if Russ really wants to continue to tank or whatever it is that he's doing, he could turn around and flip Keenan or even Derrick Henry to a quote unquote contending team and get some value back for them, I'm sure.
Oh, no, I'm just going to win the whole damn thing.
Well, I mean, there's that too, sure. But if you're not Russ, the point is, you can, if value is value, regardless of what strategy you're currently trying to take. And don't get me wrong, it's good to have a plan, but you need to adjust that plan when value presents itself. And getting Keenan Allen, Derrick Henry, and a 24 first for, to Rocky's point, Breece Hall, who I like a lot, but is just one running back, and that's a top wide receiver, a top running back, and a first to insulate yourself against them aging, is a smash to me. As soon as I saw that, I was just like, I can't believe Russ got this. I wish someone would offer me something similar for 102. They will not, and I am mad now.
Yeah, I don't think it's as far off as maybe you're making it sound, but I do agree. I think that he's getting more value, and that's a really good point. That I've done that before too, where it's like, I have to take this, right? Like, I'll ask people, like, even though a lot of times you do it with the idea, okay, I'll flip these guys to get more value out of it. But when you think you have the clear value advantage, it really shouldn't matter how old the guys are on the other side.
again, that is very league dependent, everyone who is listening. If you don't have a very active league, that's a very dangerous play. But if you are in a league called Trade Addicts, you hope that eventually during the season you'd be able to flip him over.
Yeah, I will say that my comments were made with the idea that I know that Russ cannot hold on to a player for more than 10 seconds before it's on another team.
I don't know. I held on to Dalton Schultz for a while in TA10. That was like 2 weeks. Right, that I would never move my love of Dalton Schultz. And then, okay, so the next trade is interesting to me because, like, what is Tyreek Hill worth anymore? And I saw this come through, and the trade is Tyreek Hill and running back one, JD McKissick, for a 23 first and 23 third. And it comes down to, would you give a 23 first for Tyreek Hill? And I know a lot of people, 23 first, and Tyreek Hill is 28 and away from Mahomes. But I think I would still give a random 23 first for Tyreek Hill. It seems silly not to. He's good. Tua's not bad.
I would, but I don't know that I'd give up a ton more. But I would take the Tyreek side in this trade. But, I mean, I don't know. If it was a first and a second, it'd even have me – well, because we don't know what Tyreek is. I mean, I've said this before. I still think Waddle may outscore him this year. I don't know. Something in me thinks that.
Yeah, but if they're like 275 to 255, are you sad about either of it?
Yeah, I guess not. But I mean, there is the question of whether the two of them score that much in this offense. We have to see Tua do it. I believe in Tua. Yeah. No, and I'm a Tua guy too, Russ. You know I'm a Tua guy too. But we haven't seen it yet, so there's definitely a question mark there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean I would still do a 23 first. So like you said, I mean, I know they're the golden gods of dynasty, but Tyreek I think is going to produce. It's just how much. I don't think he's obviously not going to be previous years Tyreek, but I still think he could be, you know, high end two, low end one.
Yeah, I would do it too. My only hesitation there would be I play to have fun and I don't want Tyreek on my rosters, which I won't necessarily get into because I've gotten into it before.
Yep.
But if I'm just looking at it strictly from like a, this helps my team from a value perspective or team perspective, I would want Tyreek for a random 23 first.
Yeah. And this next trade made me sad because I offered a trade involving trying to acquire Tom Brady, which
you left out a key piece of this deal, Russ.
The 302 that went for Pierre Strong.
I know this was my trade, right?
Drew Lock.
Yeah, Drew Lock was part of this trade.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
how dare I?
I know because me and Bobby talked about it afterwards. Drew Lock is. I was being kind of.
I was blinded by fury, and I missed that there were other things there.
Well, so. What people don't realize is that Trade Addict 7 is a points per lip syncing
points per freestyle.
Yeah, points per freestyle. So Drew Lock helps you there. Now, Casey, I feel like I have to preempt all of these because I'm in leagues with these people and I like these people. But Casey, I love you. I don't love this trade for you.
Yeah. I mean, my trade was convoluted and ridiculous because that's what I do when I'm bored. But Tom Brady for the 209 and Drew Lock. I believe this is while the 209 was on the clock. Like she went to get Mechie.
Yes, I had the 209 and got a couple offers. I think I got three offers for it. And this
was... I love Mechie at the 209, by the way. And if you are rebuilding, getting rid of a scoring quarterback, but like how much more can you get for Tom Brady? Like it feels wrong, but realistically, how higher can you get?
I would give up at least a high second for him.
I was going to say, I'd probably, if I really thought I had a chance to win this year, I'd have no problem giving up an early second for him.
And I'm not sure I do have a chance to win this year, but I have no choice but to try at this point with the way my team is. So
you can give me Tom Brady and we'll figure it out later. Yeah, okay, we can move on. But yeah, John Mechie at the 209 is lower than I've seen in most leagues.
Really? I've seen him go in the early third occasionally, and I like him better there. Like to me, I on this past week on Junkies, I called him aggressively mediocre.
He's
according to mediocre, he might as well be aggressively mediocre.
Yes.
According to the DLF rookie ranks consensus, he among the rankers is towards the top of the second in Superflex.
Yeah, that's nuts to me, but what do I
Mechie has an ADP, a trade addicts ADP of pick 21.2. And 209. His earliest pick was pick 19. His latest was 23. Okay, so that's a very small window.
Yeah.
And was not drafted in two of the drafts. He made it to the third in two drafts. I guess
because I did top 24 ADP. Yeah,
this is only the top 24. Yeah, so he fell to the third.
Yeah, I've seen him go in some early. It's always the early third, but yeah, I've seen him.
Brandon Cooks is not going anywhere. That's his show to run. That she needs to get in line.
Yeah, Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks, John Mechie. Come on, everybody knows that. Okay, so now comes the TA8 craziness. There is. How to word this? Trading is fun. Trading for draft picks is very, very fun. Let's say you trade for like 8 of the 12 first round picks. You don't need to draft any of them. I'm going to put this out there because you're about to see what happens when you have, I believe he had 8 of the first round picks. This is what ended up happening. The 101, who of course... Breece Hall was traded for Trevor Lawrence, the 104 and a 23 second. So Breece Hall, 23 third for Trevor Lawrence, Drake London and a 23 second. I feel like that's a lot to get to the 101.
I was going to say, are you looking for comments or are you going down the list? Because that seems like a nice trade for whoever had the 101 previously.
No, we're going to do this a little quicker than normal, but yeah. Yeah. Next trade, the 107, 109, and 110 for Travis Etienne, the 104, and a 23 second. Now, this 104 got passed around like a village bicycle.
I love the three picks in that trade.
And I only wrote down what two of them were for some reason. Garrett Wilson and Christian Watson were the 107 and the 109. I love them even more
knowing that one of them was Garrett Wilson.
Like, yeah, I was going to say the picks probably would depend on the players, but the picks, even without knowing the players, was my gut instinct.
Yeah, and I'm also not a huge ETN guy, which helps me like the picks even more. But I just, like I said earlier, I don't see a massive difference between the 104 and the 107 and the 109 and the 110. And so I'll take the three picks.
Wilson to Wilson, baby, about to be lit.
James Cook was the 110. Next trade, this one, Zach Wilson, the 104 and 105 for Justin Herbert.
So easily Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
so
Herbert. That one hurts me for whoever gave up Herbert. That is like the type of trade that Andrew Hall was messaging me earlier today on Twitter.
I think I know who it was, but I don't know if I should name them.
No,
no names.
You walk away.
I just was throwing Andrew under the bus because he's part of the at work.
Trades. And okay, wait, one more, two more. Nope, one more. Mac Jones for the 108 and the 208, and the 108 ended up being Kenny Pickett.
Do you know what the 208 was?
I'm the worst at this. Tyler Algier.
So basically, that's just a question of whether you prefer Pickett or Jones.
I know.
Algier has a shot, I guess, but that's like really me putting on like, that's like three drinks in, I put on my rose colored glasses and go, yeah, Algier, you're looking pretty good right now.
Your Algier colored glasses.
Yeah, you can tell by the amount of octaves Bobby's voice went up. He's like, yeah, okay, no, high. Oh, no, too high. That's he's
yeah.
There's a little facetiousness going on.
I think we started talking about this last week when Shane was on, and we actually talked about Jones versus Pickett, I think, and I said I prefer Jones, I think, so just because we've seen him do it, and Pickett maybe has slightly more mobility, but I'll take Jones. I'm
going to pat myself on the back here, and it's related, because in Dash, which is our underground trade addicts league, I traded before the draft Mac Jones for Tom Brady in the 109, and at the 109 I got Kenny Pickett, and I feel much better about that trade than I do this trade. So
yeah, that's a nice
whoever gave up Mac Jones, you could have done better, kid.
So here's my thing. I think I want Kenny Pickett over Mac Jones for the
be shiny and new.
Not even. I mean, a little bit, yes, but hold on. I need to drink a little water before I spit this fire. That's one of the worst things I've ever said. I apologize.
Oh my God, I thought it was fantastic, actually, but continue.
We know what Mac Jones is. We know what the Patriots want Mac Jones to be, and that's not bad. That, like, you know, cool. You have a solid mid to low QB2. Maybe you'll get a 20-point week and you'll feel great about it.
Do you think the Steelers expect Pickett to be a lot more?
But he can be. There's much better weapons with an offensive coordinator that is at least a little bit creative. And it's the Steelers. The Steelers want to be good in a conventional way of football. They will do, you know, they will pass the ball more than three times, regardless of how much the wind is blowing. That may be bad for Pickett, but it's also not going to just completely hamstring like Mac Jones gets every once in a while, because when you're playing against a defense that is just that good at the pass, maybe we just run the ball and pass the ball three times. You know, like I think there's more of a chance that Pickett will be given a situation where he can reach that ceiling that we want there to be than Mac Jones will get, and the one we really don't feel Mac Jones has at all. So, yeah, if I want to feel safe, I take Mac Jones, but that's no fun. So
also, Rocky should be on board with this because his boy's Deontay Johnson. All Pickett has to do is get the ball in the hands of Johnson and watch him work.
There you go.
Wow, that was a lot faster than I lost my place. Whee! Okay, this next one was me being me. There was a stretch at the beginning of the second, and I wanted, and again, well, like Tyler had who the, you know, 20 of the, like he pretty much pulled the J Mike without having every first. So he had the 201 through 204, and I wanted them. So I sent Michael Pittman and a 24 second for the 201, 202, 203, 204. He sends it back as Pittman and a 24 third for the 201, 203, 204. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's not, yeah, fine. Yeah, okay. And I froze and I'm like, I should have just let him take the 201 because now I have a decision I have to make and live with the consequences of who he takes at the 202. So I'm staring and I'm just like, I want Pickens and McBride here. What can I live with? Taking Pickens, losing McBride, and then taking the two players I'm going to want afterwards who will be there most likely. Or do I take McBride and then just make myself happy with a bunch of wide receivers? And that's what I landed on. So I took McBride, and Tyler instantly DMs me. He's like, man, that's one of the two guys I wanted. And I was just like, see, it's really funny. Then I explained the situation to him, and he's like, oh, you made the right move. I would have taken McBride if you took Pickens. And I'm just like, yes, I made a, not only did I make a decision, I made a good one. So after that, I took Damian Pierce and David Bell because I missed out on getting David Bell in like TA 1 through 4. And I decided it's never happening again.
You definitely did.
Because I bought the hell in on the, like, J.J. Zacharyson ruined this for me. He's just like, my comps to for David Bell are Keenan Allen, Jarvis Landry, and Keenan Allen, I almost said it again, and blanking on third guy, and I'm just like, Tyler Boyd. And I'm just like, I love those guys. I need David Bell on all my teams now, and I pretty much traded into the beginning of almost every single beginning of the second to go get him.
Well, Riley ruined that for you by taking him 111 in
TFL. Even I haven't done that, and I'm the biggest David Bell. I have like 9 shares of David Bell already. So
my question to you is, I don't even know how to gauge this because it's like so many picks, and Michael Pittman is a pretty solid wide receiver too. Like, I think we're past the point of thinking he's going to be a wide receiver one. They didn't really bring anyone in like I thought they would. Pierce, was that his name? I'm blanking.
Alec Pierce.
Yeah.
But like, he's been comped to Cooper Kupp. How dare you? I'm just kidding.
But it's not someone that would take away from Pittman at all. Like, they're complementary. Yes. So I'm sitting there just like, I love Pittman. I love the idea of Pittman. I love the idea of Pittman with Matt Ryan. But I just want these dart throws. This looks like more fun. And that's honestly why I did it anyway. I knew Tyler wanted Pittman. It's one of the few players I have that he liked. The other ones are way more like, I'm not going to put Kyle Pitts in a trade for the twos. So I'm like, okay, let me just stick with Pittman. And like, honestly, I still to this moment don't really know how to feel about it, except I got players I like, and that makes me happy. And I have a whole lot of Michael Pittman, so I did it anyway. Do you guys have any strong feeling about the value of this, even before seeing the players who were taken? Like, if you just saw this come across your email of Pittman in a 24 third for the 201, 203, 204, like, what was your reaction, Rocky? Or what would your reaction be?
I want Pittman. It makes it harder knowing that you picked Bell because I love Bell. But we were talking about this. I think it was pre-show about how we liked the seconds in this class. But I still like having a guy like Pittman that I feel more confident about. I like the seconds because you're getting them in the second and they're all basically dart throws and we don't know what the hell is going to happen with any of them. But there's, you know, guys that we like their talent and things like that. But I know what Pittman can do. And even if it's just a wide receiver too, that might be better than any of these three guys, let alone the, you know, I should have said the three of them combined, let alone any one of these three guys. So, yeah, I'll take Pittman.
My comment is that I got Trey McBride at the 208 in TA7, so just, like, get better at drafting, I guess. I don't know. But no, jokes aside, Pittman, I'm going to take the opposite side of Rocky. One, because F you, Rocky. And two, because I actually do think this. I agree with you that Pittman, there's a lot of wide receivers that fall into this range of, like, yeah, they're wide receiver twos. And like, you probably feel okay about them, but they're probably not anything special. And you can get other wide receiver twos. So I would feel better about it had you gotten more wide receivers. I think we've talked about this, or maybe I've only talked about it with Rocky. I'm not that into David Bell. I think he's fine. I don't dislike him. I'm just not as high on him as you guys are. And had you taken some of those other wide receivers, which I think you could have done in the early second, I would have felt good about it. I do get why you took Trey McBride. I'm just personally, even having taken him at the 208, still a little worried about the contract they just gave to Zach Ertz and how that's going to work. But I guess with DeAndre Hopkins getting suspended, that helps both of our cases because they'll probably both see the field pretty quickly.
Yeah, but I mean, let's face it, Zach Ertz is now used to playing the role of the guy that's going to get pushed out by the younger guys. So I'm cool with it. I'm looking. So yeah, I have no George Pickens because it's always like, well, do I move up one or two and take Sky Moore? Do I drop down a bit and take David Bell? And it's always one of the two of them. You know, like I've never stayed put around that 112 to get George Pickens. So, you know, I might as well just bring it down to zero and just not get him.
Just to clarify, because I feel like I maybe misheard you and this might just be my bias showing, but you had the opportunity to take Sky Moore and you said, no, I'm taking David Bell.
No, I'd have to trade up to get him.
Oh, okay. So I did mishear you because for a second I was like, I understand you love David Bell, but you take the guy tied to Patrick Mahomes for us.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm saying like sitting at the 112, which I wasn't in this draft, but like, you know, I traded into the 201, so it doesn't work in this league. But if I'm sitting at that area where, okay, Pickens will probably be here for me to take at the 112, do I sit here or do I do something with this pick? Do I move up a bit to get a guy I like more? I hate that I use the words more when talking about someone with the last name Moore. Like, do I go move up to get someone I like more and I think that is in a better position? Or do I drop down, gain a little extra assets, and grab someone I also like equally as much in David Bell while getting stuff on top? Which is why I just think I will have zero Pickens unless he falls.
I debated Pickens. I forget at what pick in TA7. I think it was versus like Christian Watson, or I don't even remember. And I was just like, no, I need to go with the guy tied to Aaron Rodgers as much as I wanted to go. And then the other thing was, I also, not to talk too much about my own team, but I have Chase Claypool, and I didn't want to root against my own player. And I didn't also feel like finding a trade partner for Chase Claypool like immediately after. So it's just like, no, Team Claypool. He's better than Pickens, clearly.
Any reason to plant a flag, man, you take it. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
We have two quick ones, which... I don't know why I did this. I was, again, the rookie draft fever got me. The 303 was on the clock, and I, for some reason, wanted Jelani Woods on my team. So I sent a 24-second. I don't think it's terrible, because it's 24. It's far away. It's a second.
I'm not going to say anything, because I love that people have this attitude. The fact that I already have 5 or 6 of the 23 seconds is basically because of this attitude where I started buying them in like 2020 or 2021. People are like, oh, it's so far off, I don't really care. And they do that with first, and it's still, to my, in my opinion, and I get it, there's time value and people aren't patient and whatever. It's the biggest advantage that people still don't take in Dynasty, of just taking advantage of the fact that other people are not patient and buying picks like 2 or 3 years out.
I get it, and I'm definitely not one of those patient people that will wait for the pick, but there is the idea, too, that, I mean, you can, and I've done this, in, like, in this draft, for instance, like, you can get those picks back. I've traded into many a second round in this draft, which maybe it's easier than some other drafts, who knows, but there is the idea that you have 2 years to get a 24-second if you really want one, so I don't mind it at all now.
Yeah,
and you do, but just to counter that really quick, it will probably be more expensive than if you got it 2 years out.
Yeah, but then you also have 2 years worth of whatever else you got from that. But we're not getting in. money, baby. That's all I'll say. But it is very different. Like, don't. I sort of agree with Bobby where it's like you don't throw away future first like they're nothing because they're far away. But.
And I have come around more on that, too, by the way. Like, Bobby is one of the first people I really talked with about that. And I've come more around. There's certain guys, like, I'm not giving away a first for, like, a guy that's worth a second, even if it's a 24 first.
That's also, by the way, how I've been rebuilding my TA team, because I decided to rebuild pretty early on. And it didn't work out as well as I wanted, because this class wasn't as good as people wanted it to be. But I was buying 2022 first in 2020.
And the other 24-second I had, I sent for Isaiah Spiller.
That I really like.
Isaiah Spiller. That's all I got.
That I mind less than the Jelani Woods trade, honestly.
I mean, because he's a current second. Like, the other one, you traded a second for a third.
He went at the...
Even, I don't care if he went at the 301 or something. To me, he's a second-round guy.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit also. But finally, in TA9, you got your baby back.
I did.
DeAndre Johnson for the 106, 23 second, 23 third. And with that 106, was it Ryan?
Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, it took Jameson Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, he had stolen Deontay from me in the outhouse challenge, actually. It was a horrible trade, too. I don't remember what it was. I'm sure I probably paid more. I know it involved CEH, because I could not believe that CEH plus a pick or two was getting Deontay Johnson. So I probably paid more than I gave up in the challenge, but I didn't care. To me, this was very fair. First, a second, and a third. I had 3 seconds, which made it a little easier to do the second, and I think that's what he's worth, Deontay Johnson. 106, I mean, maybe Jameson Williams ends up being amazing, but and I like Jameson Williams a lot. He's my wide receiver 3, but you know, we all know I love Deontay, and I know what I'm getting from Deontay. I don't care who his quarterback is, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, I don't care. He's gonna be a high end two at worst, and for me, a mid first and a second and a future second and third, no less, is easily worth giving up for him.
I think it actually probably helps Deontay Johnson, to be honest. I think you want him to be the starter if you want Johnson to do well, because those guys operating over the middle, so him and like Freiermuth, those just make easy targets for a rookie quarterback, and he'll lock onto them. I mean, I know Ben already had a noodle arm, so he was already locking onto them, but it'll just continue the trend of Deontay producing well because he's being locked onto by a quarterback who's trying to make easy completions.
And there is that, but I just love this narrative too, that like he only was good because he had a horrible quarterback. Like, that is the most ridiculous thing to me. Like, anybody coming in is an upgrade, but it's basically, oh, well, Ben had a noodle arm and would just throw 5-yard passes to Deontay. No one else is going to throw to Deontay, even though he gets open all the time because he's a great separator.
That's not the argument I was making, by the way. I know,
but I'm just saying this is what I hear all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, anyone who tells you that a wide receiver produced because their quarterback was bad is arguing essentially in bad faith. It's the complete other way around. A good wide receiver found a way to produce despite the fact that he had a noodle-armed quarterback.
Yeah, it's like they think that just because, like, I don't know, him and Ben must have been going to breakfast, like Stafford and Cup. That's the only reason Ben was throwing to him all the time. It's not because he's the guy who can get open the quickest or gets open all the time. Like, and he's gotten open downfield. Like, occasionally when Ben could rear back and get one 15 yards down the field, Deontay would catch them there. But
all about the Steelers, and also not to bring this back to Claypool, because I am certainly guilty of this, but it's because people were like all into the Mapletron narrative and that like he should have been the one getting all the targets, and that Deontay sucks because like, what Deontay suffers from is what I call like the Jarvis Landry syndrome, which is he's a guy who operates like over the middle, out of the slot. And people are like, I don't want slot receivers, even though they're probably like usually the best in PPR leagues or 0.5 PPR leagues. I want the guy who makes the sexy leaping catches, one-handed Beckham type catch. So give me this guy Claypool, or we're going to call him Mapletron, because everyone has to be compared to Megatron. Because we have Babytron and Mapletron, and who knows what the next Tron is. But yeah, I mean, I loved Jarvis Landry. I didn't initially love Deontay Johnson. I will say I started to buy into his value a bit, and then it somewhat reached a price that I wasn't as comfortable with. But the trade that you gave up with, I'm totally fine with giving up.
Yeah, and I was in on the ground floor of Deontay Johnson. So, and yeah, he originally, I think, wanted 2 seconds. I talk him down to the third, and I feel really good about that. But, I feel like we should really Truther has a question in the chat here. It's in a 12-team startup with vets and rookies combined, Superflex 1 PPR to 1.5 premium. Sky Moore is going around Mooney, Ayuk, CH, Michael Thomas, Hollywood, and Bateman. Are you taking all of them over Sky Moore, Bobby?
No, I will take most of them over Sky Moore. I would not take, as much as I love Mooney, I don't think I could advocate for taking Mooney over Sky Moore, just because I think Sky Moore has a legitimate opportunity and Patrick Mahomes throwing him the ball. And I like Justin Fields and I really do love Mooney, but value-wise, I just think you could probably get more than Mooney. Also, I don't know why CEH is even in this list.
I suppose my thing is like one of these things is not like the other.
Ayuk, I'd be a little bit iffy on, just because we've seen him be in the doghouse there and like not be as targeted with Debo around. But ultimately, I wouldn't fight you strongly on it. But CEH is the one where I'm just like, dude, like, don't do it. Just don't.
For me, Hollywood and Bateman are the only two I think I would definitely take over Sky Moore. What about you, Russ?
Thoughts, yeah.
Those are the two where I was like, yes, do those. MT, I would maybe do, but honestly, probably not with some of the recent news. And then the other three already talked about. So there's your answer, Ridley Truther. Hopefully that helps. But definitely don't do it for CH. And if you do, maybe like start a group with Andrew Hall, not called like trade addicts, but just called like people who can't help losing value on trades.
Andrew's taking a beating today on Twitter and on the pod.
Hey, if he didn't want it, he wouldn't have brought it on himself. That is horrible. I apologize for saying that out loud. Next trade, Kadarius Toney for the 204, which turned into Desmond Ridder.
Well, Bobby's got to chime in on this one first.
Wait, I missed part of this. It was 204, and so it's Ridder and what?
Kadarius Toney for the 204, which turned into Desmond Ridder.
That's awful. Straight up trash. Just garbage trade. So here's why that's a garbage trade. Because I don't know how much of your listeners actually watched any Giants film or games or whatever last year. And if you didn't, I do not blame you. It was pretty hard to watch, but I am a masochist and I watched all of it. And when Kadarius Toney was on the field and healthy, he looked absolutely electric and like a special player. And yeah. I know there are all these rumors of, oh, they're trying to trade him. Blah, blah, blah. Here's a bit of an insider information. Pat Leonard is a clown, and he is the one who started that rumor himself, claimed he had inside sources, basically was proven that he didn't, and then others picked up on it from Pat Leonard. So it's not fully, we're not fully sure there was even any like heat around, oh, they're listening to offers on Toney. And I know he didn't show up to camp, and that's not a good look either. But here's the thing. I know they also took Wandale, but Kadarius Toney is essentially the wide receiver on the Giants right now. And that might not be the most exciting thing to you, but they did improve their O-line. They're getting better. Dabble is probably going to have a similar offense to the Bills, which is exciting. They may draft a quarterback next year. To give up Toney, who could be a mid wide receiver too, if he really hits his ceiling, or maybe even like, I don't think a low-end one is within his range of outcomes. I'm not going to put on like, oh, I'm a Giants homer here, because I actually usually think Giants picks suck for fantasy. But to give him up for a quarterback who's not even necessarily going to start and was picked on day three, I just can't get on board with that. That's selling so low on Toney.
What's really, really funny was I wasn't sure which side he was going to get angry about when he started screaming in the beginning. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Kind of, but I don't know if you felt the need to get out on Kadarius Toney right now, if you could do better.
That was my thought, that I don't know that you can get much more than the 204. And I'm with you, though. I wouldn't be picking Ridder at the 204. That's my thing. Like I said, I've done it.
David Bell, like you guys were talking about, if you have to do that.
I got him in I would take David Bell over Kadarius Toney, by the way.
209. I got him in that draft.
I don't necessarily blame you for that, Rocky. Depending on who they took at the 204, I would have been more okay with it. But taking a day three quarterback who's not necessarily going to start, and that's essentially the NFL telling us what they think of it, that teams not only passed on him once, not twice, but almost three times. That guy's probably not going to have a successful career. Not everybody is Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott, guys.
Yeah, and I like your point there about the quarterbacks, too, because I've done it.
Sorry, let me correct myself, because Ryan Tesler.
Yeah, round three quarterback.
Round three quarterback.
What are you doing awake, Ryan? Go to bed.
It is still the case that the NFL teams almost passed on him three different times, which just shows what they think of him, that he wasn't.
Listen to this run. The 204, Desmond Ridder, Justin Ross, Sam Howell, Matt Corral.
That's one of the grossest second rounds that I've heard.
It feels like throwing away picks.
That is just that's also two people making those four picks.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to those two people, but that is that's not great. That said, they're all probably going to, now that I've said that, they're all probably going to hit, just because I've publicly have said how gross I feel they are.
Well, Justin Ross. I know Ryan is some of those, right?
Yeah, this he's Ridder and Corral.
Yeah, and I know he was. I talk to him sometimes in DMs, and I know he's got a rebuilding team there, and he's kind of shooting for the moon, figuring if one of them he had like 5 seconds too, or something like that, figuring if one of them hits, you know, the value he's going to get is going to make it worth it. So I kind of get it, but I also just think like. And I've done it in a few places where I've used mid-seconds on one of these guys. I feel like we're all just like what I said earlier, we're holding on to the priors, and none of these guys are probably going to hit. But it's not like you're passing on some stud in the mid second. So I guess it's not too bad. But I would have taken someone else besides Ritter.
Well, the other thing I will also add is if Tony hits and stays healthy, he could also increase in value. So sorry, Ryan, but I still just don't really like that trade for you.
And then at the 209, 210, and 211, David Bell, John Mechie, Damian Pierce. Hashtag just saying. Okay, we have two more trades. And let's stick with the one that has something to do with the draft, where Austin Eckler, my once boy Dalton Schultz, and a 23 fourth got traded for the 104, 110, and a 23 second. This was a lot of back and forth where it started as Kamara, and I don't remember what happened. We quickly changed it to Eckler. And it was one of those things where I think I asked for 2 seconds, and he's like, no. And I was just like, fine. This was another one of those things where it's just like, I just want to do it. I want to go get Treylon Burks. So I did it. So I got to Treylon Burks at the 104, and I wanted a Jahan Dotson share, so I took him at the 110. I don't know how I feel about Jahan Dotson. I don't know how I feel about the Jahan Dotson in Washington, but he's a Penn State pass catcher, and I just wanted to share.
Well, I know how I feel about Jahan Dotson. I don't know if I shared this with you guys or if it was just in this other chat I was in, but people were talking about taking, I think it was James Cook. You're in that chat, and I think you were agreeing with them. It was James Cook over Jahan Dotson, and I felt like I was taking crazy pills, to be honest, because I really like Jahan Dotson. I think what people don't like is something that is somewhat easily fixable, which is just Carson Wentz. And then when they move on from Carson Wentz, he'll be in a better position. Because here's the thing. At Penn State, and I thought this was a draft narrative, but apparently a lot of people didn't know this. At Penn State, Jahan Dotson produced with trash quarterbacks. He did not have good quarterbacks passing him the ball. So he's already used to catching from people who are not very good at this game we call football. And yet he still, you know, produced something like, I think it was over 1,300 yards and like over 10 touchdowns or something. I might be inflating the numbers a bit, but it was around there. And he was selected in the first round, which shows you that Ron Rivera wants to use him. I will say, on a related note, someone kept trying to offer me Curtis Samuel in one of my leagues. And to me, this suggests that Curtis Samuel is basically just like dead in the water because
he was last season.
Yeah. And now he's even more so because it's basically the Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson show. I like Dotson. I've managed to get Dotson in the two drafts that I've had in the second round, which I'm very happy about. In fact, when you guys were like, all like, oh my God, I can't believe David Bell went at 111, I was like, yes, David Bell went at 111. That means one of these guys I really like is going to fall to me. And that guy was Jahan Dotson at the 202. So I'm in on Dotson. I think people are overselling the idea of like, oh no, his first year is going to be with Carson Wentz and that's so bad. But we've seen this play out before where we've seen talented wide receivers go to situations that we didn't like. We move them down our boards because of it. And then they still broke out anyway. And I'm hoping that I'm right about Dotson because I'm already pretty heavily invested.
Okay, but taking a step back, value of this trade, pretty much Austin Eckler for the 104, Schultz for the 110, and I get a little bit of a jump in a pick. Does anything scream to you, good or bad, about the value of the trade in general? Because honestly, I have no idea how to feel about it. I just like the players I got.
I'm trying to calculate in my head. I have liked Schultz for a while. I liked Schultz even when people were like Team Jarwin, and I regret trading some of the cheap Schultz I got for basically nothing, like I did in TA7. We won't talk about it, but it was CJ Uzoma and like a third because no one would give me anything for Schultz at the time.
I will tell on that one.
Yeah, not so much. But, you know, maybe because of the premium and because Eckler is a good player, you gave up more value than you got back. But I also think, at least at the moment, I do think a year from now, if we're looking at ADP or however you decide to look at market value, it will favor your side of the trade. That's just my gut feeling.
Yeah, it very well may. And I got the other side. This was me and Russ, and obviously I like my side. I just wanted to mention that, you know, it's something I've been trying to do more over the last year. I haven't been as good at doing it. Is picking up first. And this is why you do it. You don't have to make those picks. I just wanted to throw that out as a reminder. I had two here and I got two, you know, established starters in my lineup next year. So I think this is a reminder. This is the league where we did not play last year, but I think I got a decent team. There's probably a couple teams with better on paper rosters than me, but I can compete. So I really liked it. I love Eckler, and I'm a big Schultz guy too. So this worked for both of us, I think, because I like the players and Russ just wanted to draft.
I'm going to add a caveat, which is you don't have to draft players at your picks, but also, and I know like this has been going around forever, but for people who may be newer to Dynasty or whatever, to Russ's point earlier about the 101 and trading it when you're on the clock, wait as close as you can to your draft, if not being on the clock, to try to maximize the value you're going to get back for trading away those picks. The sooner you trade them away, the less value you're going to get, because Russ talked about it earlier. He was like, oh, I don't really want to trade in. And then suddenly Treylon Burks was sitting on the board and he's like, I must trade in to get Treylon Burks. That happens with people every single year.
Yes.
They get excited about the shiny new toy and will pay you to get that shiny new toy. So make sure you're getting maximum value if you're trading with your picks.
And see, I really lucked out here. Being in 30-plus leagues, I often don't have the time to flip them that quickly. So we got into a draft, and everyone's paying attention to the draft. And Russ sends me an offer, and I'm like, okay, we figured it out. Yeah.
All right, last trade we got on the sheet has – we are past important draft pick trades. Now we're in the future, baby. Lamar Jackson for Tua, a 23 first and a 24 first. Now, this, like I said before, is the race between Ryan and I for next year's 101. So I got Lamar Jackson off my team. Win. I sent this over to Jason, who was in our chat before. I don't know if he's still hanging around. He rejected it. He's like, I can't give up the future first. It's like, I get it. We were talking about it before, how time is money, but firsts are firsts, and giving up both of them. And of course, I was the ass. I'm like, Lamar's so young. You have plenty of time to get those picks back. And, you know, he rejected it. And then like 2 hours passed, and he's like, you know what? Screw it, right? You know, got to risk it for the biscuit kind of stuff. And he sent it back, and I'm like, okay, cool. So this, I liked this. I thought value-wise, it was completely fine. I wanted Lamar off my team. I don't need Lamar off my team. I didn't need Lamar off my team. Just because you're like, again, before, like Bobby brought up, like, just because you're rebuilding doesn't mean you need to get like shoo away old things. You don't need to get rid of people that score points just because you're rebuilding. Lamar is like a 25-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, Lamar is arguably a building block for a rebuilding team.
Exactly. Yeah. This is me being me. This, like, this isn't something you have to do. Lamar is absolutely someone I could have built around. This is more just for the fun of it, because it's personal between Ryan and I now. Like, I want that 101.
Ryan wants to let you know too. He's got better, in the chat, I've got better picks than my own for the chance at one. He does have like 5-23 first or something.
Sorry,
like
Matt. That. Yeah, your team's pretty bad. I kept trying to get, it's funny, he has Maddie's first round next year, and I kept trying to give him Lamar. I'm like, you don't have your first, just take Lamar, just do it. And he wouldn't take him.
Well, so on the trade, I think this hurts me to say, because Russ, you've seen in that other chat that I mentioned, that league we're in together, that I was one of Tua's biggest defenders against that entire league, who all think he's quote unquote butt cheeks. That said, in case he is quote unquote butt cheeks, which is still a possibility, even though I don't like to acknowledge it, I would probably take the Lamar side in a vacuum and just in general, because as we just noted, you can build around Lamar and we don't know what those picks are going to be. And Tua could bust. There's a lot of uncertainty on that side. So I would much prefer having the guy that we know, you know, I don't think he doesn't get enough credit as a passer. I'm not saying he's an amazing passer, but he can pass enough that he's going to stick around in the league. And the Ravens clearly like him and are trying to work out a long-term contract, which I think they will, because he's the face of their franchise. Yeah. And they'd be a little crazy not to. And so honestly, good job, Jason. even though it hurts me to take a side against Tua, I feel like I have to.
Yeah, it's very, I love this. Not usually when it's just Rocky and I, me with a trade is the only time we get both sides of it. Jason's in the chat and he said, I don't think Lamar is two first better than Tua, but I think I got a more stable QB to go with Mac Jones and Kenny.
That's 100% accurate.
Yep.
He summed it up very well.
He's got, like I said before, Mac Jones is that awesome safe floor. And now you got that ceiling with Lamar. So if you build your roster in that specific ways where you like, give me that floor so I don't lose games. And then give me a couple of guys that might go win me a game. Like, there you go. You he just did that right there.
Yeah. And me personally, I'd probably take the Tua side just because I am a Tua believer. And the 23 first is a ton of value. I guess the 24 first isn't yet, but it will be. And I think even what we've just seen, I think he is going to, you know, step up with those weapons he has there. But even just what we've seen from him, that's enough for me. And then you can, you know, with what you could possibly get with it, whether it's picking it or flipping it, especially in season, I think you're going to be able to get a ton for those 23 firsts as rebuilding teams or teams that are out of it are trying to get those picks. And they're probably going to give up the world for them in terms of vets that are scoring points. So I'm fine with it, especially knowing, you know, the way I play, I'm fine with the Chewas of the world. And yep. Even if he doesn't take that step up.
And to put the little bit of extra context in, this is the 23 first of the dude who won the league this past year.
I was also just going to say, I'm not surprised that Rocky would take Tua because I like Tua, but he does fit the profile. The thing that I like that Jason did here, though, to his own point about getting a more stable quarterback, and the reason that I'm always on like somewhat the opposite side of Rocky on this argument, is I like to have those stable quarterbacks in place so that ideally in future draft classes, I don't have to worry about them and can just take the wide receivers or the running backs, or if I have a pick that might be a quarterback, trade it and get more value then and just not have to worry about it. I very much want the quarterback position to be a set it and forget it, not, oh, each year I need to go out and try to trade for a new quarterback, which I know Rocky does successfully, but it's just not something I feel good about.
Yeah, I don't worry about that. I do like that you said that Tua fits the profile, because there is a profile when I'm trying to do that. I'm not like grabbing the Daniel Jones and the Drew Locks of the world to fill my quarterback spot just so that I don't have to pay up. There are certain guys, generally is guys that either are old and undervalued, or, you know, Kirk Cousins, who everyone hates for whatever reason, even when he wasn't older. Or guys like Tua that I think are, you know, that are in that QB2 range, but I think can step up to QB1, even if they're younger guys that people still don't like for some reason.
Yeah, so that's going to be our last trade. We are going to move on. But before we do, right now it is Tuesday. I will hopefully get this out tomorrow, which is Wednesday. So assuming all of you listen to this show the second it drops, if not, if you're a patron and you listen to it before, I know you definitely do. The signups for the Fantasy Cares Eliminators should be coming out on Thursday. There are already over 100 leagues ready to go with so many heavy, heavy air quotes celebrities playing. Rocky and I are definitely going to have at least multiple, like two or three trade addicts leagues, because
there's going to be a junkies one too.
I guess this is where I should plug celebrities and one former celebrity and not even a former celebrity in myself. So I will also have a Fantasy Cares Eliminator, as I do every year, because it's for charity. And hopefully people will sign up to play against me. If not, I will be very sad.
Which is why I always sign up for Bobby's. I don't want Bobby to be sad. So look out for that. So much fun, so much charity. So much work, but so worth it. It is those are all so much fun. I always join way too many, but so I just wanted to put it out there. Okay, we have one listener question before we get to the TA ADP that we'll go over, not super in depth, but at RRBC. I almost like just read it as running back by committee.
That's what I was thinking too.
RRBC12, can you discuss value and trading differences in smaller 18 but start 12 with four flex and non-PPR leagues? Where are the leverage and pivot points? I was thinking about this when I saw the question, and because I'm weirdly talking to a few people about this right now, the size of the league doesn't necessarily matter. It's the amount of starters that matter total. Like in a normal, like if we're talking eight teams where you start nine players, studs is literally all that matters. Like yeah. Depth has zero worth whatsoever. But here, eight teams, you're starting 12 people, 12 players. I mean, that's what, 96. That is pretty much a 10 team starting 10 players. You know, like there's no real difference between those two leagues at that point. So when you're looking at leagues like this, if someone asks you these questions, if you're trying to figure out for yourself, don't worry necessarily about the amount of teams in the league. It comes down to the amount of starters, which is why if you do need to or want to be in a league with fewer people, always bump up the starters. Just because, again, it makes it more fun. It makes it your knowledge of football more worthwhile, you know, because like we're sitting here talking about David Bell and John Mechie in an eight team start nine, probably even start 10. Those guys aren't going to see your lineup, probably, unless they hit. They're never going to see your lineup. So like, it's just not as much fun for me to not have those guys involved. If that's what you like, I am not league shaming. I promise, play what makes you happy. Unless it's two tight ends, then you're just wrong. But in this specific league, if you're in a 10-team league, I treat this exactly the same because, again, you're starting just as many people. What I will say is also your starting requirements against your total size. Because if you have to start two running backs, go get running backs. Because the more that need to start, the more you kind of need them. And the more valuable they will get. If you have to start three wide receivers, you're going to want to care more about their starting lineup and then worry about the depth later. There's a lot that goes into it, but how much does it change the value to me? Not much. It just changes who you go after, I think. Like, I think that's the big thing. Like, I don't think this wide receiver, like Tyreek Hill, I don't think his value necessarily changes much. It's just I kind of want him more because he has that ceiling, and that's what we care about in the lesser starters / smaller leagues. The only thing I will say, smaller leagues, if you do super flex, QBs matter less because there's less scarcity.
Agreed. And I do think, I mean, I think you had to bump, it's sort of a combination of the two, obviously, of this team size and the starter size, but you kind of have to bump it up massively for it to not be about studs in an 8 or 10 team league. Like, obviously, 8 team, 12 starters is still 12 team, 8 starters, where in that situation, I'm still only caring about studs, pretty much.
Yeah. if you want your 8 team league to be as deep as a 12 team league, it's going to get.
Yeah, you'd have to go massive. Yeah. So,
yeah. So, but clearly, that's not what they're aiming for. And this is still much deeper than your average 8 team league. So, I mean, I applaud the effort, but yeah, like, I still think I don't think you have to change too much. I just think you still want to care about studs, but here I think, especially depending on your roster requirements, like I still love start one of everything and then everything else is a flex, in which case depth matters even less because if you have to start three wide receivers, having those extra wide receivers matters because you need to fill that wide receiver spot. But when it's just flex, it doesn't matter what you got as long as you got the valuable players to play. Well, producing players to play.
I think Russ summed it up pretty well. I don't really have anything to add. Plus, you talked about it for like probably way more than the question even warranted.
Did I? I felt that. I'm glad it made sense because I know I talked a lot. I'm glad I actually put that somewhere wibbly wobbly timey wimey, but it got from A to B. Whew. Okay, so now let's talk about Trade Addicts rookie ADP for the top 24 because I was lazy and I knew it was the most leagues I would be able to get into one. I'm just gonna read through it real quick and then we'll talk about it a little bit. The first 12 picks are, this is in ADP order: Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Treylon Burks, Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Kenny Pickett, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Sky Moore, Christian Watson, George Pickens, and James Cook. What's interesting to me in all of this is, and I'll give you a little bit more of the details as opposed to just the order, Breece Hall picks first in every single one. You know, I broke this down into ADP, where it was literally all of their picks divided by the amount of times they were picked. So this was 7 divided by 7 equals 1. Earliest.
And you pick, took out TA1, right?
I did this. Yes, this does not count TA1. Okay. Because Jim ruined that one. Earliest one, latest one, times drafted 7. You know, all these people up here. The amount of drafted was for the lower level to see who fell to the third. There was no ADP of 2, technically. You know, the range of people taken in the next few picks. Kenneth Walker is the second player listed, but his ADP is 3.29. He was drafted as early as 2 and drafted as late as 8. He has the latest, he has the biggest fall of any of those next 4 players, which, Walker, Burks, London, Wilson. Yeah, of that 4 player tier, which is a tier 2 me, he has, the rest of them are 7 and he fell to 8. So it's not precipitous in any way, but he did fall the furthest out of anyone else.
That doesn't surprise me. I had the 102 in TA7 and I took Walker. And as I did it, I kind of felt like I was reaching, but I wanted a running back.
That's really what it comes down to. Like his the scarcity of running back, if you're not one of those people who just straight up Keyshawn Vaughn's James Cook up here, you know, the scarcity of running back in this draft class should push Walker up. I just love wide receivers, so I would never do
it. Also, really quick, in this other chat that I keep mentioning, which is our other league that Russ and I are in together.
Just drop the name of the league already.
So it's called the Lopsided Trades Pod League or whatever. We had this whole argument in the league chat of basically me versus everyone else, of Jahan Dotson versus James Cook. And Russ was on the James Cook side. And I am the one who said that James Cook is this year's Keyshawn Vaughn. And now he just casually goes, "Oh yeah, Bobby, I'm on your side, but way too late. While everybody was getting up on you, I kicked you while you were down too."
That's funny. Those are two guys that I'm way lower on than everybody else, so I don't really care about Jahan Dotson versus James Cook.
I'm not the biggest Jahan Dotson fan. Man, James Cook's like a middle of the second pick for me. Like, you know,
You're allowed to change your opinion. I'm just saying you did gang up on me with everyone else.
So that's just because I like messing with you. I am on many records saying that James Cook should not be in the first round. Because I got to stand by my rep. That's all I got. Oh, you got your word. I don't know what I'm talking about. The big 3 wide receiver right there of Burks, London, and Wilson all have an ADP that fall in the number 4. So it's really pick your order. These are the guys that are going to be around there. I was a little surprised that Pickett was above Jameson Williams by 0.14. Mostly, again, because of that one spot. They were both drafted as early as 3, but the latest they were drafted was Pickett at 9 and JMO at 10.
By the way, with pick, I was originally more maybe middle of the first or 107, 108-ish. I have no share so far. I want nothing to do with Pickett. Like, it's been pointed out by people smarter than me that guys picked at the second half of the first round, like, but 20 on, that they're basically second round picks in terms of hit rates. Like, he's got no better chance of succeeding than a second round quarterback in the NFL draft does. So And I didn't love Pickett, like everybody else. I didn't love Pickett coming into the draft. So he has to fall like 109, 110 for me to pick him, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I got Pickett 109, but I also that's why I was doing like the golf celebration, because I like hearing that I got a player at their latest ADP.
You actually got that one of them post-draft, right?
One was TA7. Right. I got him 109 in both dash and TA7. But this is for Brian Haar. This is my Kenny Pickett appeal to the masses. So Kenny Pickett, a.k.a. Baby Hands, a.k.a. any other kind of small hands you can call him. I don't know another term for small hands behind Baby Hands. I've been up since 5 a.m., so you'll have to excuse me. That said, just because he has small hands does not mean that he cannot play football. We have seen him play decent football at Pitt. The Pittsburgh Steelers played in the same stadium as him and got to see him play directly. Now, I did have this argument on Twitter of like, we have seen the Steelers just be good at player development. That doesn't necessarily proven out for quarterbacks outside of Ben, but all the other quarterbacks that people are talking about were not first round quarterbacks that they had a vested interest in really developing all that well, because they went, well, Ben's here. Why would we need to develop Mason Rudolph or guy whose name might as well be Mason Rudolph? So I am in on him. I'm in on him also because of something we already talked about, which is the Steelers' offensive weapons. And I like Pickett. I like Pickett enough that, you know, he was the only guy drafted in the first round. It might be that they only have the hit rate of a second, but the Steelers are clearly invested in his success. They took the local kid because, to Brian's point, they didn't want to miss out on the local kid and see him go succeed elsewhere and become a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, and that would be kind of embarrassing for them. But I think Pickett is a fine quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be like your QB1 type, but I think he could be like a middling QB2, and I'm fine with using the 109 on that. I'm fine with using that might be as far as I can go, to be honest. So Brian, I tried, but 109, you should feel solid about that.
I do think the weapons are important, but when you said it, the first thing that popped into my head is a lot of people, including myself, like Drew Lock because of the weapons around them.
Okay. So the difference here is that Drew Lock was pretty much a trash quarterback in college too. And so we had numbers telling us and film telling us Drew Lock is not very good at this football thing. And then we all went, but you know what? They surrounded him with weapons. Let's go. If you surround trash with weapons, it is still trash.
Trash.
If you surround weapons. And I get it.
Around mediocrity with weapons, it's mediocrity.
So Jason makes a great point, and I don't watch that much college football. I acknowledge it's not really my thing. I look at stats later when I have to for rookies. But he says that, I mean, watch the Clemson game. He had defenders in the backfield the whole time and was still making plays. I've seen clips of that game. It is very true. Ryan says his hand size concerns me less than his 4 years at Pitt. That is also very true. The other thing I was going to acknowledge is that we really only have like a one-year sample of Kenny Pickett being a good quarterback. We've seen some guys like that succeed recently. The most recent example is Joe Burrow. But I am by no means saying that Kenny Pickett is Joe Burrow. If I did think he was going to be Joe Burrow, I would say that he was the immediate 101 and you should be trading 101 plus for him. But at 109 or even like, you know, 108, maybe 107, in my head, I'm starting to think of some wide receivers I really like, and I'm starting to feel grosser about the statement as I make it. But I would feel okay about taking Kenny Pickett there and not feel bad if you needed a quarterback. And in TA7, I had Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and Baker Mayfield. I'm still very high on Trey Lance, even though I know some people are like, oh no, he's not as prepared as everyone thinks. And apparently, but like the new coaching staff also hasn't really gotten to talk to him. Zach Wilson is what I'm afraid of, actually. He is who I think people might be like Drew Locking and being like, he should be pushed up because he's got weapons. And so I don't feel very secure. And then obviously Baker doesn't have a job. So I kind of felt like I needed another quarterback. And so I'm okay with Kenny Pickett. And I realized that was long, but that one was for you, Brian. Kenny Pickett, he's kind of okay.
Zach Wilson does fit that trash description that you used for Drew Lock. So that tracks.
Yep. Yeah. It doesn't make me feel good. In fact, I probably shouldn't even tell you guys that because like with the way I feel, I should be trying to trade Zach Wilson based off the hype of him having weapons, but now you know how I truly feel. So his value has been depressed.
The next two players are Chris Olave and Sky Moore. After those two is when I would start thinking about Kenny Pickett, but he'll be gone by then. Is really what it comes down to.
I can't even think about him until, I think 108, because there's the five receivers. I include Jameson Williams in there and you know, Olave.
Sky Moore takes you to nine.
Yeah, so I can't even think about him until 108 or 109.
And then we have the end of the first being Christian Watson, George Pickens, and James Cook being the first. That rounds out the first 12 picks.
All I thought of was Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer for all three of those guys. and I drafted some of those guys, but it was basically like, we're like, okay, they all found themselves, well, maybe with the exception of Pickens, but even like there's the narrative of the Steelers know how to develop wide receivers. Watson is raw, but he's tied to Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers lost Davante Adams, and he needs a new Davante Adams. And then James Cook, oh my God, the Bills backfield, but also Josh Allen runs a lot, and they never throw to their pass-catching running back ever. But, you know, Bills offense, super good. Let's draft him 1-12. Not Keyshawn Vaughn at all. That's the you lopsided trades league.
I don't get the James Cook thing at all. Like you said, I mean, they clearly, I guess, want to. They tried to sign J.D. McKissic.
That's what people are grasping on.
I guess, but I've seen, I mean, teams have done things like that before and still not used them to the extent you expect them to. And
brother of Dalvin Cook. That's it. Everyone's like, yeah, he's the brother of a really
and
good
if
running
watched
back.
Him, so he is so, I mean, to me, he's just so not a good running, like runner. He's not a good runner. So he's got to make all his hay in the passing game on a team that has a lot of other good pass catchers and doesn't throw to has not thrown to the backs a lot. I just don't get it at all. I can't even think, like I think Russ said earlier, I can't even think about him until mid-second. And he's never there in the mid-second.
Now that I've called him Keyshawn Vaughn, he is going to have like the most amazing rookie season.
Totally. It's the same thing. I have zero shares. He's going to be awesome. David Bell's going to suck. It's totally going to happen.
Calm down a little bit, Brad. Calm down. The second round starts with Jahan Dotson. And then Malik Willis and Desmond Ridder. I'm surprised at how early this is. This is also boosted by Savi, who in TA3 went a little QB crazy. Because
Willis
has an earliest draft of 4 and the latest of 21. And Ridder has the earliest of 8 and the lowest of 22. So that definitely played into it, to putting them this high. But they are going not too much later than like the 203, 204. That's weird to me. Like
it's what Rocky said earlier. People are holding on to their priors about them basically and just like refusing to acknowledge that the NFL draft happened. It's their priors, and then it's the idea that like they all have weak quarterbacks in front of them.
Yeah, basically. It's like if they went to just different teams in the same spots, we'd be completely off of them.
That isn't, yeah, the landing
it's just
spot
that they
has
went
been
to
huge
teams
for all of them.
Who can have different QBs next year.
And I will also say Ryan Tannehill had like one down year, but besides that, he was playing at a very high level the last couple of years, so I'm not sure his job is at risk as much as people may think.
And I do sometimes think draft capital is overrated, especially on the higher end, like just because a guy goes in the second or something, I don't think that makes him good, if I didn't think he was good before that. But third round quarterbacks is just such a bad bet that it's just that specifically that position. I mean, I can't get on board with it. I like I said, I've done it in a couple leagues. Where we talked about with Ryan earlier, I've kind of done it in the same situation where I have a crappy team. I took them, one of them at 204, 205. I think it was usually Malik, thinking, you know, if he hits, it's going to be huge. And I get a big value boost. And if not, well, it was 204 or 205. So it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, it makes sense to shoot the moon, especially because people are hanging on to their priors. If any of them hit, you will get a big value increase.
Yes.
But it's such, to Rocky's point, it's such a bad bet because if you look at the list of successful quarterbacks drafted outside of the first round, it's very, very limited. It's basically Russ, Dak, and a whole list of nobodies.
Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Or,
yeah, sorry.
And Kirk.
Yeah, Christian Kirk. Who was the second QB drafted by that team in the same draft.
Yes.
Okay, the next pick after David Bell, baby. David Bell, Trey McBride are the next two picks. They are insanely similar. Their ADP is less than half a point off. Earliest of 11 for Bell, earliest of 13 for McBride, latest of 22 and 21. Shout out to Jaywick. I love you, man, because in this list, Justin Ross has an ADP of 18 only because of you. Justin Ross got picked once in the top 24. It was by Jaywick at pick 18. I love you, buddy. I'm glad I get to talk about Justin Ross right here.
I'm happy you get to talk about him, Russ. I think that's throwing away a pick.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous. You should not. I drafted him at the 206 and Dash, which was before the NFL draft, and I knew I took him too high there. And then now he went on.
I think taking him in the third is throwing away a pick, honestly. But
yeah, I'll take him in the third. I'm with Rocky. You know, I mean, I honestly, reading about what's going on with him, I was kind of hoping that he just like wouldn't sign with a team, period, and would like take care of himself.
Yeah, he has genetic bone issues, which will get worse as he ages. It's a little in a complete nonsense way. I love that he's in the league because hashtag Team Clem's a big wide receiver, and I've been talking him up for the past year and all of that stuff, but like it's terrifying. Like the idea that he still feels the need, the drive to go do this. I'm glad for him, since he felt the need to do this, that he did get signed, and he got signed by the Chiefs, which is great.
Which has only helped these kind of picks, I think. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm definitely happy if that's what he wants, but I am very, very scared for him. And if I were the Chiefs GM, there would be no way I would sign him because, like, God forbid he ends up paralyzed or something for life. And you're the team that said, oh, yeah, we'll take this chance.
And then speaking of holding on to priors, I mean, we're talking about a guy who was good 2 or 3 years ago. Like, even this last college season, he was not that great. Like,
well, he was hurt. The team just wasn't playing well. You calm down.
He's a big Clemson wide receiver, Rocky. It's fine.
But now we get back to the more normal picks of Rashad White, you know, coming in that Tampa Bay where he's going to take over for Leonard Fournette. Is it Wandale or is it Wandale that you've been saying?
I've been saying Wandale, but it might be Wandale.
Yeah, I think it's Wandale.
I've heard
what I've been saying, and that's what I've heard other people say. But
there's if a it's lot of guys like that. Know,
I'm probably heard wrong.
Corral and Coral.
Definitely Corral. That's weird. So we have. Well, speaking of, he's coming soon. Wandale and Isaiah Spiller both hanging around that 18-19 area. Sam Howell, Matt Corral, and then Brian Robinson, John Mechie, the Pierce brothers, which I'm sure are not brothers, Alec Pierce and Damian Pierce, Greg Dulcich. Again, it's really, when you get to this level, it's a little misleading when they hit here because one person took him at 22, so he's at 22. Zamir White all the way down at that next pick. And then Jalen Tolbert is our last. He was taken once at 23. Does anything in here stick out to you as in too high, too low, or besides leave Justin Ross alone, guys, leave him alone. Anything else besides that stick out to you here?
Well, two things. I totally missed the list because I was looking up a pronunciation and it is Wandale. and that's it. I missed the list and I now know how to pronounce his name properly.
I have trouble remembering most of the list, but Dulcich is definitely way too high in the second round.
Yes, this, like, once you get past the first few players, like once you get past, you know, Cook, Dotson, the QBs, those Willis and Ritter, and hold on, Bell, McBride, Rashad White, go get your guy is what it comes down to. After that point, Isaiah Spiller and Matt Corral are the only two players that were drafted in all seven drafts in the second round. So if you're sitting at, if you're not in the second round and there's a guy you want that you think could fall to the third, maybe just trade in and go get him. Because I think that's what we're seeing right here where, I mean, this is just times drafted starting at pick 20, 3-7, 1-7, 1-5, 4-7, 1-4-1. Oh, yeah, and I miss Damian Pierce was drafted every time in the second round, but later. But like, there's a lot of ones and a couple of threes and fours, which is the closest you can get to half out of seven because no one can be drafted in half a draft. Can they? So like that's really what I was trying to gauge out of this. Like what can we get from this ADP? Because it really is zero chalk this year because it's a lot of preference because it's a very big gob of wide receivers. I think that's what I'm taking out of this. If you want someone in after that David Bell, Trey McBride, go get them because that you have no idea if they're going to fall because everyone's just grabbing the players they like at that point because there's no tiers anymore.
Yeah. What I'm taking away from this is what you did with Tyler was smart, and also somewhat what I did of like grabbing the non-wide receiver when you have a question is probably the right move because there's probably a wide receiver you can get later that you might like almost as equally because this class is pretty deep at wide receiver.
And to your point, I think it's even in the first, like there's a set of guys that we know are going in the top seven or eight, but I've seen them all over the place. In turn, like I've seen Garrett Wilson at seven. I've seen Drake London at six. I've seen Burks go two. I've seen Burks go seven. You know, it's even in the first round, there's a tier, but it's still kind of get your guy even there.
Yeah, I think on that note, we are going to call it a show because I threw this in here because I thought we would go through those trades quickly and we only had one listener question, but I think we're still at like an hour and 40 because that's just what we do, whether we mean to or not. But thank you, Bobby, for coming back. I don't have to,
Yes. Well,
at least give people your Twitter handle in case they want to follow you after your beautiful, amazing comeback to recorded podcasting and not the live show, which, man, thank you for doing that because I couldn't make it.
Yeah, I'm just glad that you exist because I was promised that you would show up and you didn't. So I thought maybe you were a figment of my imagination, but I'm glad to have podcasted with you again, Russ. And if anyone's interested, they can find me at Rec Fantasy. I occasionally tweet Dynasty Fantasy Football stuff. I also occasionally tweet, I want to say like movies and TV shows and comic books and just things that I'm interested in. So if those things sound good to you, come check it out. And definitely appreciate you both having me on.
It's been a while. I'm glad you came back. And our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. One more time, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. We've talked plenty of times throughout this show about the stuff that comes with it. Watching us as we record, we were pretty much just talking to the people in the chat for a few minutes, which is another reason we were in as long as we ended up doing. But then there's also the Cool Kids Club on GroupMe, our awesome chat where you can be part of. Where three of us are there, and a whole lot more people, very smart people, people that do right things instead of me, who just does fun things. So you'll get some actual good advice. Also, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, t-shirts, mugs, stickers for all your favorite Dab Network shows and beyond, anyone else who didn't feel like making their own stuff. We still have our SFB 11 stuff on, even though SFB 12 is just around the corner. Invites have gone out and everything. Fingers crossed we get to make SFB 12 stuff, but we'll see what happens when that happens. But regardless, every penny that does come in goes straight to charity. So regardless of what you buy and where you, well, on our site, that's where you have to buy it. But regardless of what you buy on that site, every penny straight to charity. And I am losing words, so good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Good night out, as Brian used to say.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fan. That is the best. See ya.